Cats, cats are different though. A cat won't curry favor, even if it's in their best interest to do so. A cat can't be a hypocrite. If more preachers were like cats, this would be a religious country again. If a cat likes you, you know. If she don't, you know that too. Screw Lucy never liked Lulu, not one whit, and she made it clear from the start. If I was getting ready to feed her, Lucy would rub around my legs, purring, while I spooned it up and dumped it in her dish. If Lulu fed her, Lucy would sit all the way across the kitchen, in front of the fridge, watching her, and wouldn't go to the dish until Lulu had cleared off. It drove Lulu crazy. "That cat thinks she's the Queen of Sheba," she'd say. By then, she'd given up the baby talk. Given up picking Lucy up, too. If she did, she'd get a wrist scratch more often than not. Now, I tried to pretend I liked Frank, and Lulu tried to pretend she liked Lucy, but Lulu gave up pretending a lot sooner than I did. I guess maybe neither one of them, the cat or the woman, could stand being a hypocrite. I don't think Lucy was the only reason Lulu left. Hell, I know it wasn't. But I'm sure Lucy helped Lulu Bell make her final decision. Pets can live a long time, you know. So the present I got for our second was really the straw that broke the camel's back. Tell that to dear Abby. The cat's talking was maybe the worst as far as Lulu was concerned. She couldn't stand it. One night, Lulu Bell says to me, "If that cat doesn't stop yowling, LT, I think I'm going to hit it with an encyclopedia." "That's not yowling," I said. "That's chatting." "Well," Lulu says, "I wish it would stop chatting." And right about then, Lucy jumped into my lap, and she did shut up. She always did, except for a little low purring way back in her throat, purring that really was purring. I scratched between her ears like she likes, and I happened to look up. Lulu turned her eyes back on her book, but before she did, what I saw was real hate. Not for me, for Screw Lucy. Throw an encyclopedia at it. She looked like she liked to stick the cat between two encyclopedias and just kind of clap it to death. Sometimes, Lulu would come into the kitchen and catch the cat up on the table and swat it off. I asked her once if she'd ever seen me swat Frank off the bed that way. He'd get up on it, you know, always on her side, and leave these nasty tangles of white hair. When I said that, Lulu gave me a kind of grin. Her teeth were showing anyway. "If you ever tried, you'd find yourself a finger or three shy, more likely," she says. Sometimes Lucy really was Screw Lucy. Cats are moody, and sometimes they get manic. Anybody who's ever had one will tell you that. Their eyes get big and kind of glary. Their tails bush out. They go racing around the house. Sometimes they'll rear right back up on their back legs and prance, boxing at the air like they're fighting something that they can see, but human beings can't. Lucy got into a mood like that one night when she was about a year old. Couldn't have been more than 3 weeks from the day when I come home and found that Lulu Bell was gone. Anyway, Lucy came racing in from the kitchen, did a kind of racing slide on the wood floor, jumped over Frank, went skittering up the living room drapes, paw over paw. Left some pretty good holes in them with threads hanging down. Then she just perched on the top of the rod, staring around the room with her blue eyes all big and wild and the tip of her tail snapping back and forth. Frank only jumped a little and then put his muzzle back on Lulu Bell's shoe, but the cat scared the hell out of Lulu Bell, who was deep in her book, and when she looked up at the cat, I could see that outright hate in her eyes again. "All right," she said, "that's enough. Everybody out of the goddamn pool. We're going to find a good home for that little blue-eyed bitch. And if we're not smart enough to find a home for a purebred Siamese, we're going to take her to the animal shelter. I've had enough." "What do you mean?" I asked her. "Are you blind?" she asks. "Look what she did to my drapes. They're full of holes."
"You want to see drapes with holes in them," I say. "Why don't you go upstairs and look at the ones on my side of the bed? The bottoms are all ragged because he chews them." "That's different," she says, glaring at me. "That's different, and you know it." Well, I wasn't going to let that lie. No way was I going to let that one lie. The only reason you think it's different is because you like the dog and you don't like the cat I gave you, I says. But I'll tell you one thing, Mrs. DeWitt. You take the cat to the animal shelter for clawing the drapes on Tuesday. I can guarantee I'll take the dog to the animal shelter for chewing the bedroom drapes on Wednesday. You got that?